This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Storey.
Chapter 19. Tom didn't know what to expect. The word seance formed a vague impression of a circle of hands, and he was not surprised when Catriona reached across and, as they faced each other, grasped his and hers and told him to close his eyes. They'd picked a spot near the centre that could have been a living or cooking area. There was a hole in the wall facing the hill, the remains of a fireplace or a smoke vent. Inside the structure, the grass was soft, trimmed by sheep whose calling cards had to be kicked out of the way before they sat down. The wall facing the sea had partially collapsed so that if Tom looked slightly to his left and Catriona to her right, they could see small clumps of twinkling light on the far Ayrshire shore. Catriona's hands felt cool in his. They interlocked fingers and the girl whispered, "Whatever you do, don't break the link." She whispered something under her breath then. Tom tried to hear it, but soon drifted into his own thoughts when he realized that he couldn't make out anything she said. Her whispers mingled with the hiss of the lamp and the nearby subsurface gurgle. He imagined the music he'd heard earlier in his head, and it appeared to materialize around him as he did. So too, the singing. A single voice, quietly, as if to a child.
"Ali Bali, Ali Bali Bee, sitting on your mummy's knee, waiting for a wee bobby to buy some Coulter's candy."
Unknown to Tom, he swayed with the rhythm of the song. It played again and again, drawing him ever deeper into another world. In this world, he was a young boy, a toddler, his mother at once rocking him to sleep and then singing as he bounced on her lap. And soon he saw himself, in his imagination, sitting by the fire, a girl, his own younger age, bright red hair and gleaming dark eyes, tapping her feet as she bowed a fiddle. The tune and the hiss and the song and the whispers coalescing to a frenzied whirl of sound. It surrounded Tom, engulfed him in its closeness, its hypnotic grip, its visceral energy. So lost was he to the sound that it became more than imagination. He was there, in that room, not just watching the family gathering, but part of it. The fire crackled loudly, its light softening the rough texture of stone walls. Shadowed wooden beams propped the roof, and a musty smell of dampness and baking was curiously pleasant in the sing-song air. He opened his eyes, certain that he would be in that room still, disappointed to find that he was not. Catriona's hands continued to grip his, her quiet voice muttering, head bent and oblivious to Tom's vision. He returned to its embrace and quickly retook his place in the happy dream. Tess bowed her fiddle and her mother and Tom sung. Tom had no idea how he knew the girl's name was Tess, but he did and accepted her label without question. Outside, beyond the resurrected walls, another storm battered the building as fierce as the one that had trapped them so recently. This memory, his time with Catriona, her hands holding his now, the family scene, all images bubbling inside him, bringing with them wave after wave of sweet, intense emotion. Tom could have died happy there and then. Later, perhaps, he'd wish he had. As Tom embraced the comfort and security, the warmth of the fire, the pleasant fury of the storm at bay, another sensation drew him from the logic that so recently constrained him. The feeling began with the same notion of familiarity. He'd seen the woman before, knew the girl's name, Craigan Cottage, the ruin. But as the intoxicating sound ensnared his heart as tightly as his thoughts, the root of this familiarity shifted. He knew her, yes, but the word knew was inadequate, weak. Rather, Tom wallowed in a sensation that engulfed him with its intensity, an intensity that changed his life. He searched for the word to match the emotional assault in his newborn world. But to do so, a part of him had to leave its cover to enter the dry realm of words. The candidates, linguistic objects, swam around his head. Familiarity, fear, anger, anguish. A procession of words lining up for consideration, his mind resisting the intrusion. Loneliness, friendship, family. And then he had it. The one word that pushed through them all. The word that could change everything. Love. Chapter 20. Love. All-powerful, consuming, dangerous. Catriona's hands closed tighter on Tom's, suddenly hot, suddenly part of the phantom fabric engulfing them. He looked up from his place by the fire and there she was, standing before him, holding his hands. She let go and drifted round to look at Tess, at the woman singing her lullabies. There was no feeling of loss when Catriona dropped her hands. They somehow seemed connected still. Catriona's shadow danced with the firelight as though taken by the music. She looked back at Tom and smiled. "This is love," she said. "I feel it." Her long black hair swayed with her head as she listened to the woman's voice. She took Tom's hands again and together they spun the room around them, the fiddle and the girl, the fire and the shadowed beams, the blonde-haired woman. And then he was with that woman, his mother. The impossibility of this fact ignored. Coddled in her arms, he seemed tiny then, his protector, an Amazon giant. The world continued to burrow. Tom nuzzled her chest, giggling as he tried to stop his head flying outwards with the happy force of it all. And in front of them, the heart-shaped pendant. His left hand went to it and felt its cool smoothness in his fingers. Saw himself in another time rubbing it and rubbing it, threading it with string, placing it around a white and pure neck. The neck his small arms now embraced in this dizzy, giddy world. They danced and sung for what seemed like hours, and then the room melted away and a slightly older Tom lay warm in bed, the woman, blonde hair tickling his cheeks as she bent to kiss him, her pendant swaying back and forward like a hypnotist's charm drawing him to sleep beyond closed eyes. The boy dreamt then, and Tom shared the dream with him. He was running along the beach he recognised as a semi-bay outside Craigan. The sun shone, a stiff but pleasant breeze pushing long brown hair back like a horse's mane, rising and falling as he vaulted stone and driftwood. He turned his head, laughing aloud. Tess grabbed his arm and spun him to face her. Her frame was slight, but she could run. Her grip like jaws. But still he shook himself free and ran on, turning to his right to see Catriona at his side and laughing with equal abandon. and even then, as his arms pistoned at his sides, he felt the warmth of Katriana's hands in his. Invisible, but the feeling there just the same. Dodging another lunge from Tess, he swung back towards Cregan, but noted with mild curiosity that the white cottage was not there. He looked up the hill to the left and saw the edge of the ruin. Although it wasn't a ruin, it was home. Tom's mind did not lurch at this thought. It was home. Of course it was. So what? In the clearing that should have housed Cregan Cottage, the blonde woman he knew as Mother sat scribbling thoughtfully on what looked like hard yellow paper. She dipped a small stick with a metal top into a pot and scribbled some more. Hearing the children's laughter, she looked up and squinted against the sun. "Careful, Tess, you'll hurt him." "Hurt him? Ridiculous." At that moment, Tom was invincible, and no one, least of all a slip of a girl he could outrun and outjump, could hurt him. But as he tumbled to the ground in happy breathlessness, something inside Tom knew that this thought was not right. A slow dread rose from his stomach, and he denied it like suppressed vomit at a joyous party. He looked at his mother, determined that his time with her should not be spoiled. Not this time. Not again. But his mother stiffened just the same and stared in dismay beyond the rock pillar out to sea. A small white sail cracked like a gunshot as a boat swung around in the suddenly ugly wind. Tom knew why his mother's heart fell, but he could not bring himself to dredge the thoughts from that part of him that knew and bring it into this divine and sacred place. Nevertheless, the boat sailed closer and the woman jumped to her feet. "Inside!" she ordered. Tom and Tess stood their ground. The young girl stared at the boat, her hands in her hips, defiant. "Tessa! Tom! Please!" The woman took their arms and gently pushed them towards a small path leading up to the grey stone cottage, and the pair reluctantly moved.
"Stay where you are!"
a booming voice called from the sea.
"What are you doing, woman? I've equipment and supplies to shift."
Tom watched the boat run fast to the shore. As it did, the sail dropped and the small vessel's momentum carried it up the beach with the grinding crunch of keel-parting stone. Tess started back down the hill, her mother looking fearfully from her children to the boat. Tom stood still, watching the man as he half-vaulted, half-fell to the pebbled land. He was not surprised now to sense the familiarity with which he greeted the stranger, despite that part of him that tried to kill the recognition before it found its rightful place in his memory.
"Don't stand there! Give me a hand!"
Automated, Tom followed Tess and they both hauled the boat up the beach, Tess's strength matching his, the boat surprisingly light despite the pile of boxes stowed throughout its bulk. Tom tried to see the man's face, but his back was to him. He moved strangely, and at first Tom thought it was the water at his shins that made him shuffle awkwardly. But even before he turned, before he crunched up the beach and tossed the trio a scowl, the boy knew that that wasn't true. In exactly the same way he seemed to know everything else. The man was thin, half bent, and with a gait that had one leg dragging the other. His face, mouth covered by a scarf despite the sun, was the face of a man in pain. His eyes screwed up, his flesh twitching sporadically as though tiny needles crawled beneath its surface. His skin, mottled red and white patches, hung leprous in small clumps from his cheeks and forehead. Tom felt curiously sorry for the man, but this quickly turned to dread again as he swiveled his eyes on him and said,
"Boy, you lied to me. Why did you lie to me?"
And even though the man did not move from the spot, Tom felt the lash of a whip on his back, the tear of muscle as a non-existent barb drew across his shoulders, the ooze of blood soaking his shirt. He fell to his knees and his mother and the girl ran to comfort him and they fell too and Katriana looked at the man with hatred in her beautiful dark eyes.
DreamWorks.com.